John 7, verses 14 to 16. Not until halfway through the feast did Jesus go up to the temple courts and begin to teach. The Jews were amazed and asked, "How did this man get such learning without having studied?" Jesus answered, "My teaching is not my own. It comes from him who sent me." John 7, verses 14 to 16. In this short discourse, I want to concentrate on this point. Jesus the teacher. Jesus the prophet. "I am the way, the truth, and the life," he says. Jesus the teacher. And he was a teacher. Of course, he came into the world to save sinners. Priest, sacrifice, offering. Of course, he is Lord. Of course, he is Emmanuel, God with us. Of course, he is King. Yes, there are many things we could say about Jesus. But one thing he was a preacher. He came into the world to preach. I know he came to be priest and sacrifice, but he also came to be prophet. And here Jesus is the preacher. Now, in John 6, we have the substance of his discourse, the doctrine he preached, as we do elsewhere too, Matthew 5 to 7. Here we don't have the doctrine. We don't know what he said. We are not told the truth he put before this people. But what we have here is the reaction. Of course, we often get the reaction. We do in Matthew 5 to 7. We certainly do in John chapter 6. The vast majority of the crowd in John 6, when they heard Christ declaiming and proclaiming the truth, they hated it. And as he says in John 5, "You will not have it. You will not have me." And they hated it, John 6, and they went away. But some, of course, most famously Peter's words, responded well to Christ. "To whom shall we go?" he said. "You have the words of eternal life." Here, though, we have the reaction of the Jews. Of course, the Jews are hostile. As we've heard already, they wanted to kill him. They deny it. In verse 20, when Jesus says in verse 19, "You're trying to kill me," he asks. "You're demon-possessed," they said. "Who's trying to kill you?" But the Jews were. The hostile Jews, the bigwigs. They wanted him out of the way. As Caiaphas will say, "It is expedient that this man be put out of the way. Otherwise the nation's going to go." And the hostile Jews, we have their reaction. They were amazed at Christ's preaching, at Christ's teaching. It was like a thunderbolt to them. Why? Well, we have it in John 5 to 7 as well, the reaction there. This man speaks with authority. He didn't speak like the scribes and the Pharisees. And here we have it expressly. They're talking among themselves. They're arguing and discussing it. And they're puzzled. How did this man, this unlearned man, how did he get such learning? He's never been through our courses and studies. He's never studied. He hasn't been to the rabbinical school. He hasn't done the rabbinical course. He hasn't listened to the rabbinical teachers. He hasn't got the rabbinical examinations under his belt. He hasn't got the rabbinical bits of qualification paper or whatever. No, no, no. But here he is, preaching, teaching in this way. I wonder what he was saying. Well, we don't know, but I know how he was saying, and I know the meaning and the substance, not the actual words, but I know what it was all about in this sense, because they tell me. This man was speaking with instructive power. Such learning. He wasn't giving traditional teaching. He was giving spiritual, weighty, informative teaching, scriptural teaching, prophetic teaching. In his case, of course, he was bringing revelation. He says, my teaching is not my own. It comes from him who sent me. It doesn't come out of the books. It's come from God himself. I see he is speaking here with authority and with power. Above all here, I see he is a dividing preacher. I've mentioned this. In other places, Matthew 5 to 7, John 6, John 5, other places too. Wherever he preaches, while some receive and some believe, many reject. He is a dividing, divisive preacher, not in the wrong sense, but the very substance of his doctrine separates the sheep from the goats. There is such a thing as the broad way and the narrow way. There are people who are in darkness and in light. There are those who are in Adam and in Christ. There are these differences. And the real preacher, Christ, the great prophet, divides in his preaching. He separates wheat from chaff. This is not the complete ministry of Christ, but it is a vital part of his ministry. He is the great prophet. The hymn writers have helped us in this, to express our worship of Christ as this authoritative, glorious prophet, this weighty prophet, the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. Let me read one or two verses to you. I start with Isaac Watts. He opens like this. Join all the glorious names of wisdom, love, and power that ever mortals knew, that angels ever bore. All are too mean to speak his worth, too mean to set my Saviour forth. And he will speak of Christ as Jesus, my great high priest, offered his blood and died. He will speak of him as my Saviour and my Lord, my conqueror and my King. But he will also speak, before that, of this. Great prophet of my God, my tongue would bless thy name. By thee the joyful news of our salvation came, the joyful news of sins forgiven, of hell subdued, and peace with heaven. Great prophet of my God, my tongue would bless thy name. Yes. And then Samuel Davis. My prophet thou, my heavenly guide, thy sweet instructions I will hear. The words that from thy lips proceed, oh, how divinely sweet they are. Thee, my great prophet, I would love, and imitate the blessed above. And Isaac Watts again. We bless the prophet of the Lord that comes with truth and grace. Jesus, thy spirit and thy word shall lead us in thy ways. Yes, Jesus, the great prophet. And as such, believer, he is our model, is he not? Our example, our exemplar, our paradigm. Should we not model ourselves upon him? We're all preachers, you know, believer. Some are engaged in public, what we might call pulpit work. But the truth is, we're all proclaimers of Christ. Let us be instructive, weighty, informative, scriptural, spiritual. We're not bringing revelation, no, but in a real sense, let us be prophetic preachers, authoritative preachers, powerful preachers, praying for God's Spirit to be upon us, that we might be such. And we need to be dividing preachers too, not setting out to divide, but making sure that we're not inclusive. Today, so many preachers are inclusive, us and we all the time. It has to be you, my friend, you. God commands sinners individually, as it were. Nathan said to David, "You are the man. Not we are sinners, but you, David." And in that sense too, copying Jesus here, we must not leave everybody thinking that all is well. They must know that they are either in Christ or not. An unbeliever, I can sum up the doctrine of Christ to you very shortly. He tells you plainly that all of you, he says, listening to me, are sinners. He is the only sinless one. All of us are sinners. And his truth is this, that we are sinners who are listening to him. You are my friend. You must repent. You must believe. You must trust him. For unless you repent and do trust Christ, you will perish. I urge you, receive Christ as your great prophet. More, of course, as your Savior and your Lord. But in this discourse, he is the great prophet. He is the great teacher. May he become your prophet, your teacher.